Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Oh, there we go. Good morning. Welcome on this wet day. I know there were some folks who actually canceled today, so we're wondering about freezing rain versus rain. Rain you can all do, and it looks like that's what it is, at least for right now. So welcome. Welcome to Woodlawn United Church. Special welcome to those who are visiting with us today. I believe there's a coffee time after the service downstairs, and we welcome you to come down and join us and get to know the community a little bit. Right at the beginning, I want to call it and see if there are any announcements that people might have. Yes.
Morning. So I just wanted to remind everyone, Thursday is TGIT at 7 p.m., and we have Lisa Beaver, who is a Mi'kmaq Relations Advocate, coming in. She's going to talk about her faith journey, as well as the spirituality of everything from powwows to making dream catchers, and it's actually a really great talk. I've heard her speak before, and she's wonderful, and it's going to be really interesting, and I hope that everybody comes out.
All right. Thank you. I see Ralph had one back here, too. All right. Very good. Very good. Very good. So free tea and coffee when you purchase chowder. Yeah. Very good. Are there any other announcements from the congregation? Okay.
I just wanted to mention, if you look in your bulletin at the announcement section where it says, in the hospital or in our thoughts and prayers, it's always a good idea to keep those names, those people, in your hearts and in your minds and in your prayers, not only now, but throughout the week. And, they're, for whatever reason, they're in our prayers in that section. Just a lovely general prayer about healing energy going towards them, or, may the medical professionals figure out what's wrong and help them any way they can, that kind of thing. Just to keep them in your prayers would be awesome. So thank you for that.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, how about birthdays, anniversaries, and other celebrations? Yes?
Today.
Marion Evans turns 82.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Happy birthday.
Very good.
I think I know that my husband's got one tomorrow.
Oh.
Paul White has a birthday tomorrow. That,
did you say you think?
No, did I say that?
Yes. Okay.
No, I know he has a birthday tomorrow. And he's not going to be 82.
No. And neither is Terry Ganu, who just had a birthday as well. A special one. Yeah. All right. Any other
celebrations?
Any other celebrations? Well, congratulations then. We invite you now to stand as you're able and greet your neighbor. Let them know your name. Good morning. Hi, my name is Philip. And to remind
As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territories of the Mi'kmaq. May we live with respect on this land and in peace and friendship with its people. Come, let us gather together as church, the body of Christ in this place. Come, let us hear the word of God.
Listen to all the way of Christ.
Come, let us express our thanks to God.
We gather to celebrate God's presence in our lives.
Our opening hymn is found in Voices United, number 87. The words will be on the screen. I am the light of the world. Said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So as a symbol of Christ's loving presence among us, we light the Christ candle. Let's take a moment of sacred silence. Loving God, we give thanks for the light of Christ within us and around us. May it open our hearts and minds to the light of your truth in our worship today. Amen. And as we sing our response, I would invite all the children and the young at heart to come forward for story time.
Thank you.
up here. It's so nice to see so many of you. I'm Mary Lynn, by the way, in case you don't know me that well. I know you're used to having story time with Shannon, right? Everybody knows Shannon. And so when I was starting to think about this story time, I was thinking, well, do you remember the little, or maybe none of you, maybe you do, remember the bracelets we used to have that was WWJD? Which WWJD bracelets? And do you know what it meant? What would Jesus do? So when I was trying to figure out something to say today, I was thinking, I need a bracelet that says WWSD. What would Shannon do? She's always so awesome at story time. Okay. Anyway, the other day, I was reading my devotional magazine. Okay. So I read The Upper Room. This is a little book, little magazine. And it has little little stories in it, devotional readings that are written by people from around the world. And it kind of connects all God's children in that way. And I get a lot out of this little devotional magazine. And it connects you to Scripture, too. So you get to read a little bit to the Bible as well. Anyways, there was this awesome picture on the front. It's up there, too. And I thought, what an awesome picture, you know. I didn't think any more of it at the time. But then, a couple of days ago, the email trailer came out with that picture. And I thought, oh, that's an awesome picture. And then, it's even on the bulletin, right? Although it's not in color. So I thought maybe I'd talk about it a little bit. Because inside the upper room, in the first couple of pages, there's cover art interpretation. And this woman, whose name is Catherine A. Kimball, she's the curator of the Upper Room Chapel and Christian Art Museum. Do you know what curator is? What? What's a curator? Somebody who... creator. No, well, somebody who makes art is a creator, right? Like the guy who painted this, but a curator is someone who knows everything about the works of art in the museum or the works of, you know, whatever it is that we're looking at, the historical artifacts and stuff. Someone who has all the information about it. Or if they don't, then they learn. So, the artist that did this picture, his name... that painted this picture was Daniel Bonnell, and he's a USA contemporary artist, okay? So an artist from today. And you'll notice that it has beautiful colors. What do you think the picture's depicting? What is the picture showing? Can you tell? We know it's Jesus. Yes, Jesus getting baptized. Very good. And do you know where he was baptized? He was born in a stable. He was actually baptized in a river, and the river is the River Jordan. Okay? And that's over in the Holy Land, over in the Middle East. So, here's what Catherine says. In an essay that this gentleman wrote, he said that when he sits with the work of art, when he's looking at someone else's artwork, he studies it in a way that's a little different than most people. He has to be present with the work of art, sitting in silence, and visually listening. So visually, with his eyes staring at the work of art, listening to what it has to say to him. And what I'm thinking is that he probably paints in the same way. He probably sits and stares at the blank canvas, but he knows his topic is going to be, say, for in this instance, Jesus being baptized. So he'd probably read the scriptures and all about that, so he would know what actually happened, because this really did happen. Jesus went to the Jordan River, and John the Baptist baptized him. So, to listen to see what this picture is saying... Catherine says, she noticed Jesus was rising up out of the water, right? There's water spraying all over. There's ripples going away from him. There's sort of a bright light in the center and almost like a fiery color light around that, which almost is like the Holy Spirit color of fire, right? And yes, very good. You notice the Holy Spirit dove above him. So when Jesus came up out of the water, there was the Holy Spirit, the form of a dove, came down. And at the same time, there was a voice from the heavens that said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So it was kind of an ethereal, very holy moment, right? God speaking. And that's what that painting is trying to show, that God is speaking, saying, "This is my Son with whom I'm very pleased." And then you notice the dove up there has the head down and the wings outstretched, right? Yeah, just like Jesus, that's right. Jesus' head is bowed down and his arms are outstretched like the Holy Spirit dove, right? So there's a connection there. And I don't know if you can tell by looking at this picture, you can see it sort of more on mine, but you'll notice that the leg of Jesus is out front over top of the other one. And if you look really closely, you'd be able to see a hole in the bottom down in his foot. Yes, because he was nailed to the cross. That's right. And there's even a little bit of a red color down there. And if you, I don't know if you can tell up there, but on my picture, you can see a bit of the cross outlined down at the very, very bottom. So it's like the cross is there and he's actually hanging on the cross. Okay? So so what happened is that when Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross, his arms were up in that position, nailed to the cross, and his head would be bowed. I mean, it would be very difficult to hold your body up like this, so you would be like this. And that's the connection to baptism, okay? So this is what she says. These are her words. Bunnell helps us understand that through baptism we are connected to Christ and the promise of our own resurrection. Because what happened after Christ was crucified on the cross? What happened 3 days later?
A resurrection on Easter Day?
Yeah. God raised him to new life. And the 40 days after that, people saw him walking around and talking and eating and things like that. So he was raised to new life. So he was dead. He was in a tomb for 3 days and then raised to new life. So this is what this painting is trying to show, that we are connected to Christ and also to the promise of our own resurrection. And like Jesus, who is surrounded by the light of God, God's voice and the light around Jesus, the light of God, and also the blue ripples extending out, the water of life, that means that we are never alone. We are surrounded by God. We are surrounded, and God is with us always. We are never, never alone. So that's how important our baptism is. Pretty awesome, eh? Okay, so let's have a prayer together before you go down to your Sunday school. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. And his baptism that connects us to our own baptism and resurrection. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
The reading this morning is Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. The baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to live for us this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." May God bless the reading of this word.
Thank you. Peter, can you put the... Well, that's a good one, too, but could you put the one that was on the cover that Mary Lynn did with her children's story up? That'd be great. I'm so thankful to Mary Lynn for having done the children's story on the picture, because you helped me see things that I didn't see that were there before, especially the part about the cross at the bottom, and that was kind of prefigured or even right from the very beginning. Also want to note that the Christian Development Committee of the church has asked me today, and at least one other time, we'll see how it goes, during the coffee time downstairs to kind of, they're going to be setting up a little place for me to sit, and if anybody has any questions or wants to discuss anything from the sermon today or from the scripture reading today, that I'll be available to do that with you. No pressure, but if you want to, I'll be there. Would you pray with me? Spirit of God, we ask you to light on all of us. Open our minds and our hearts to hear what you want to say to us today. Help us to embrace the baptism of Jesus and our own baptisms, and to take one more step along the way. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So I've been through the lectionary I don't know how many times, maybe 10, 11 times, but every time I do this story in particular, I kind of see something new, and I want to take a new look at it. There's wonderful things about the story that we could focus on. We could focus on the great affirmation that Jesus had in that voice, and how all of us, wouldn't it be great if we had fathers and mothers and parents who kind of said, "This is my beloved child with whom I'm well pleased." We all kind of yearn for that. That's an awesome piece. We could focus on the idea that Joshua came to this same Jordan River century before, and after 40 years in the wilderness, and when they were just ready, they crossed over through the waters of the Jordan into the Promised Land to begin a new leg of the journey. And of course, although not everybody knows it, the Jewish name for Jesus is Joshua. So there were some echoes of that ringing in the background as well. But I did a little research this week, and as I was preparing, I read a story about a teenager who was baptized and confirmed, because he hadn't been baptized when he was a child, so he's baptized and confirmed together. And then after the Sunday in which there was baptism, the child, or the teenager, I should say, disappeared. He and his family were no longer in church anymore, no longer in worship, no longer part of the church community. And what was going on here? It turns out that the family and this boy, it was a boy, thought that baptism and confirmation was actually graduation. And it was done. Confirmation was actually an ending. Well, the minister, in subsequent discussion with the teenager and his family, it came out that they had very different understandings. Despite attending classes, they had very different understandings about baptism, about church membership, what it meant to be a Christian, than the minister did. And so they started talking about it. While the teen thought that baptism and confirmation was an ending, the minister said, well, no, it's actually a new beginning. A rebirth, complete with water and spirit. And that's what it meant for the minister. Something new could happen. A change could happen. You know, sometimes the water imagery in baptism is thought of as cleansing. And of course, John's baptism of Jesus was calling people to a baptism of repentance. And that was very difficult for the early church to have. But in some ways, it was a new beginning, a change for Jesus, who we don't really hear very much about for the first 30 years of his life. But baptism is kind of like Paul talks in Romans 6 about baptism as being going down under the water, full immersion, and coming back up. It was like death and resurrection. It was like, and the waters, of course, are always associated with new birth. In some churches, actually, the baptismal font looks like a pregnant mother, just to kind of symbolize this birth and new birth kind of imagery and metaphor in understanding it. So something new. Now, while the teenager thought that Christianity was about believing the right things, and he thought he had it, the minister explained that being part of the church through baptism was not just about believing, but about actions as well. It was about following the way of Jesus as mentor and as example. In the old language, not just confessing Jesus as Savior, but confessing Jesus as Lord, someone that you followed. While the teenager and his family thought that church was, you know, the church building, he was kind of like a I think WestJet has this pre-boarding place, you know, pre-boarding room for a flight to heaven. The minister understood church really as the people, and the people were the corporate body of Christ committed to God and each other and to Jesus and to transformation of self and community and the world and creation, that there was this process that was going to happen by following Jesus. So they had two very, very different understandings of what Christianity, church membership, and baptism of Jesus and their baptism was all about. Now the story had a happy ending. The teen and his family came back to worship and joined in the community life and in the transformation that all of us are called to. I think all of us are called to. My question, I guess, for you today is whether you believe that being a Christian, being part of the church, is which one of these ideas, you know? Is it about believing the right things so you can go to heaven, or is it about being part of a community that's involved in transforming ourselves and the world through following the way of Jesus? You know, there are two words in the United Church that I think are kind of, I've heard more than any other words. One is inclusive, welcoming and inclusion, but the other one is journey, the idea that we are on a faith journey. And the goal may be, you know, none of us are at the end of the journey. None of us have reached perfection. None of us are perfect followers of Jesus, but the goal may be just to take the next step. To take the next step at whatever point we find ourselves along that journey. So I'm hoping that you agree with me that Christianity is about following Jesus and following the way of Jesus. If you do, then you should note that the baptism of Jesus was the beginning of something new for him, the beginning of a public ministry and mission that lasted anywhere from 6 months to 3 years, depending on which version of the story that you follow. Part of the question I have for you today is, how public are you about your faith and your journey? Do people know that you're Christians? Do people know that you're followers of the way? No? Just a question I want to leave with you with that. If baptism is a new birth in the beginning, then one of the questions we may have is, the beginning of what? What was the public mission and ministry to which we are being called? You know, if you're not 100% sure, don't feel bad. I'm not sure Jesus was either. No? We're told that immediately following his baptism, Jesus was carried off into the wilderness for a vision quest, if you will, a time of discernment, a time of making some decisions and fine-tuning what God was calling him to, and a time of temptation to kind of go in directions that maybe God didn't want him to go. When he came to John, he knew that things weren't right with the world. He knew that certainly the Romans weren't right, but he also knew that that religion that he'd grown up with, maybe it just wasn't doing it. You know, how could you believe in the God of Moses who sided with the underdog, the slave, and not the Pharaoh, and still kind of have such discrepancies in the world? Even among the Jews, even among the leaders, they seem to kind of be living okay, and a good part of the population were barely having enough to survive each day. Something not quite right there. We got to get back to the beginning. I'm thinking that's where Jesus' head was going with all of this. We need to have a reformation in our religion, just as Christianity throughout the ages has had to have reformations to get back to the basics, back to what we're really called to be about. Yeah. We too, I think, need to make choices and discern and resist temptations, and this is a transition year for all of you here and for us. You know, it's a great time to be in discernment. We know what God calls us to, but the question is, what part of the journey, what focus are we going to have as Woodlawn United Church as we make discernments going into the future? I invite you to sometimes even take some time in your wilderness and in your desert and in your quiet times to kind of think about that and discern and to be very involved in these discussions that are going on about from the Community of Faith, the Discernment Project, to talk about what is it that we're about? What are we called to do in our mission and ministry here? What part of God's and Christ's mission are we called to focus on? Now, what happened in the desert was interesting. This happened right at the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus, right after his baptism. In the way we celebrate it in the Christian church, it happens just before the last leg of the journey, if you will, at the beginning of Lent, the very first Sunday in Lent, which is not that far away, actually. We get the story of the three temptations in the wilderness and Jesus going out there. But in either case, you know, there was a discernment that happened prior to a time of not only healing and teaching, but a time of engaging the powers and conflict. You know, that's why I wanted this picture up here again. The idea that Jesus maybe even knew right when he started out with this, that if he was going to take on the prophetic role like John the Baptist did, that he was going to come into conflict with the powers. You know. So, Jesus comes out of the desert, and almost immediately, he's in conflict. In the Gospel of Luke, the story is he goes to his hometown of Nazareth. He reads from the prophet Isaiah that he's going to preach good news to the poor, and at first everybody says, oh, isn't that great? And then they try to throw him off the hilltop. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he goes to Capernaum and immediately challenges the scribes and Pharisees who lack the compassion and seem to say, keeping the Sabbath is more important than healing somebody on it. You know, challenging. In John's Gospel, right at the very beginning of John's Gospel, he goes into the temple and trashes the place. Now, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that story happens in Holy Week, right after Palm Sunday. But in John's Gospel, right at the very beginning, Jesus embodies this role of prophet and teacher like John in comforting the distressed, but also distressing the comfortable, to challenge and look at what their beliefs are doing in terms of the kind of actions and exclusions and injustices that they justify. Jesus was a social, religious reformer, and he knew the God who had compassion on the slave. So the question is for us today, is the church that we come to a sanctuary we deny the conflicts that are out there in the world? In our prayers of the people each Sunday, we don't ignore the fact that things are happening politically around the world. If you come to church to get away from any kind of thought that there is conflict in the world, then maybe this is not the place. What we hope we can do is to give you some hope and some faith that God is with us as we struggle through things. But we're not going to pretend that if we don't talk about it, that the conflict is not there. There's no shortage of violence in the world, with planes being shot down, including all kinds of Canadians that were killed in that one, and as the earth groans under climate change. I wish that there was no conflict. I wish for peace and quiet sometimes, but that's not always realistic. And the more and more and more we are seeing how religion and theology, it's highlighted in the United States, but it happens here too, how religion and theology can be such a great force and motivator for good and change and prosperity and inclusion and justice. But we can also see how some versions of every religion, including our own, are used to make things even worse. And we need to speak up publicly, I think, and challenge those things. So as baptized disciples, followers, and members of the body of Christ, as we begin this new year together, and it's not that long into this new year, are you ready to make your voice and your life make a difference? Are you ready to have difficult conversations, maybe with your family and your friends who use their religion to justify hatred against some particular group or exclusion from community, either in this life or who's going to make it to the next, Are you ready to be a force for healing inclusion, even when it's socially unpopular? Are you ready to question that Sunday school religion that you received and to test it in the light of God's unconditional love for all creation? If you can answer yes, then I invite you today to follow Jesus and Joshua through the waters of baptism and recommit yourselves to the way of Christ, the way of the cross, the way of transformation. Amen.
Our minute for mission this morning is called Holding Space for Life. Our gifts for mission and service support community ministries to hold space for those who otherwise would be lost and unknown. A simple candle is lit in the chapel at First United Church in the downtown east side of Vancouver. The gathering on unceded Coast Salish traditional territory is acknowledged. We honor a community member who has died from drug poisoning. There have been too many. People in our neighborhood have come for many reasons. In spite of living on or below poverty incomes, in inadequate housing, or rough on the street, they have made this community their home. In a relatively small footprint of land, people know and care deeply for one another. Today, the church opens its doors to hold space for affirming life. Across Canada, more than 12,800 opioid-related deaths occurred between January 2016 and March 2019. 82% of accidental opioid-related deaths involved fentanyl or fentanyl analogs. Likely every church and community that reads this minute for mission has been affected by drug poisoning. Vancouver's inner city has been profoundly shaken by this pandemic. Public education, access to harm reduction supplies, and safe consumption sites have begun to slowly reduce the numbers. We advocate for change in drug policy, increased housing, easier access to treatment facilities, and more supports for those who struggle with mental illness. On this day, we honor a person much loved in our community. Your support for mission and service allows First United and other community ministries to continue a ministry of seeking justice and holding space for life. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
God is our creator, both the source and sustainer of life. God's gift of water is also a sustainer of life, both physically as well as spiritually, through the sacrament of baptism. The Holy Spirit, like water, flows in and through us, offering new life in Christ by the grace of God. We have much to be thankful for. Let us praise God by offering our gifts as we are able for the work of God's church in this world. The offering will now be received.
Thank you.
Loving God, it is you who gives us every good thing, so we bring ourselves before you today, as Jesus brought himself to the River Jordan, trusting in your will. With gratitude, we ask for your blessing on these gifts, that they may be used to bless others and make your presence known. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us say a new creed together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. God of love, creator of all, we praise you. You have given us life, both physically and spiritually. As Jesus rose from the waters of the Jordan during his baptism and sensed your Spirit anointing him, giving him new life, so are we energized by your Spirit as we seek your will and live out our baptism each day. Guide us to be like Christ, to live in love, caring for others, and to walk in the light of your truth and justice. We are thankful your Spirit abides in our hearts through the gift of grace in Jesus Christ. Since this is the beginning of another year, we give you all our hopes and dreams for the future. Please purify them by your Spirit so that our wills shall truly reflect your will for us. Encourage us by our successes of the past. Challenge us by the power of your word, and guide us by the presence of your Holy Spirit. Gracious One, you are the giver of all good gifts and good guidance. We are truly thankful. O Holy One, we lift up the concerns of the world to you. We pray for harmony between nations. Help all world leaders to govern with integrity, intelligence, justice, and peace. These are anxious days, and we ask for your peace that passes understanding to fill our minds and hearts. We pray for those recovering from the aftermath of the earthquake in Puerto Rico. Be with them, sending them the help they need to get them through this difficult time. We pray for an end to Australia's bushfires that are causing so much loss of life and destruction. Please send your healing rains upon them and give those in charge the knowledge they need to bring this crisis to an end. We ask that you be with all those who are suffering. We grieve with them, and we grieve with the families and friends of all those who died in the Ukraine International Airlines flight disaster. We pray for your continuous comfort and support to surround the people who are grieving the loss of their loved ones. And we ask that you be with those across Canada and around the world who are grieving such loss of life due to this senseless tragedy. May your peace be upon them all. We thank you, compassionate God, for the ministry of your church in this world and for the people who go above and beyond to meet the needs of others. And we acknowledge it is your loving and gracious ways that inspire goodness in the hearts and minds of your people to pray for others and to aid where help is needed. In our own church, O God, we sense your presence among us, your energy infusing us with purpose, moving us forward into the new year. Full of hope, we anticipate another year of faithful worship, inspiration from your word, and times of working together, side by side, as we minister to others. We ask for your guiding hand in all we do. Christ is our Redeemer, the head of our church. Help us be the body that works together in unity, ready at all times to step out in faith, love, and service. God of healing, we humbly pray for people who are ill, grieving, or going through an anxious or troubling time. Surround them with your healing energy and peace. Silently or aloud, we lift up our concerns and the names of those on our hearts. Help us, loving God, to always see the light of Christ shining before us, leading the way. And now, in the name of Jesus, who offers mercy and grace to all, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 509 in the Voices United, and the words will be on the screen. I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I will set the feast for them.
As we go, remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember that we are followers of the one who was baptized and who followed away and did so publicly. We invite you to follow that same Jesus and make a difference in this coming year. And as you do, may the grace of Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, and the Holy Spirit keep you today and always. Amen.